Praise God. Well, we've been talking about, we've been on a series called Seek First, the Kingdom of God. Seek First, the Kingdom of God. And we've been talking about that for some time. We took a break for it and then we got back to it last week. So I can't review everything, but we're going to take just a moment to review. Matthew 6, let's just look on your sheet for the sake of time. Matthew 6, 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 34 said, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Matthew, the same verses in the New Living Translation said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one or love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Seek first, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And we've talked about that. We've hit that. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God above everything else. That means we put it first. We put him above all. In practice. Not in church only. Amen. We come and we're like, "God, you're above all." But we go out there. If we go out there and act like he's not, that's not the same as putting him above all. It's not put him above all one day a week or 2 days a week. It's putting him above all the time. And he said, and live righteously. Righteously, what does that mean? That means to live right according to the way God has told us to live. Yes, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's your position. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about what you do. Okay, the Bible does talk about that. It's not all about what he did. It is something to do, because if it was all about what he did, everybody would already be saved. Everybody would be healed, because God's grace is the same toward everyone. Amen? Amen? There are people that reject him. So it does have something to do with what we do. The Bible talks about that you've been created unto good works. You don't, your good works don't earn something from him, but it's because of what he did. Now you're going to go out and by his power and grace do the good works. So it does matter what we do. You know, it's not all up to him. We can sit there and go, "It's all up to you, Lord Jesus. You make it happen." No, that's not true. That's not Bible. Because again, then God would do the same thing for everybody, because he shows no favoritism. His grace is the same to all. But it's how we receive. It's not on the transmitter side. It's what we do to receive. Are we going to take what he gave us? Are we going to agree with what he told us to do? That's living righteously. Again, you're not earning something from him. You're saying, "Oh, you did this for me. You told me to do this. Therefore, I'm going to respond." We know this with our kids. It's not that they earn our favor. They're our children. We love them. Positionally, they're our children. But if we've provided certain things for them, but they won't receive it, then they can't partake of it. They won't walk in it. You know, it's not that they do stuff to earn that. We have an abundant supply for them, but they have to cooperate. And if they don't cooperate and they decide, "I'm not going to listen to you, I don't want anything to do with you," or "I'm not going to make my bed," well, you know, "I had this thing ready to give you, but since you took that attitude, sorry, it's not that I'm not going to cater to that." Right? Did your love change? No, you want everything. You want to bless them, but they won't let you. They're saying no. Well, it's the same thing with God. God has only good for us. But how we react to that goodness determines how much we're going to walk in. Do you agree with this? Do you see this in Scripture? So he says here, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Is that simple? Put God first, do what he told you to do, and he'll give you everything you need.
Amen.
Is that clear?
Yes.
It's the doing of it that trips people up. And this, even though this seems so clear, we have so much help in misunderstanding it. Because the world's not, you know, you go home and watch TV or something this afternoon, or go to the supermarket or wherever, or go down the road. There's not signs and messages blaring saying, seek God above all else. Live right, and everything you need will be given to you. You won't see that, but you'll have a dozen or two dozen or 100 other messages that are being sold to you saying, if you do this, it's going to go well. And they're selling all kinds of stuff. And when I say selling, pushing, not necessarily product, that is exactly contrary to what God says is right. In other words, God says, do this and you'll be blessed. And they're saying, oh no, you need to do this. You know, we're having this marriage seminar in a few months. There is everything that is being pushed that's opposed to marriage, saying, well, what you really need is some of this, and that'll make you happier in your marriage. And it's a flat lie. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been sold so much in the way people are dressed and things, saying, well, this is what you need. And it's breaking down marriages because people look at certain things and they go, well, that's what I need. No, that's not. You need to do what the Word of God says and you'll be blessed. You'll have what these people think they want. Not going there this morning. Amen. Well, we read in Exodus 20, 1 through 3, it says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. How many gods before him?
None.
There's nothing should be, that doesn't mean just, well, this God or that God. That means nothing should determine what you do apart from him. That's the same as you put him first place, like we read in Matthew. 1 Timothy 6. Let's see, what did I put on your sheet?
10.
I just put 10 only? Maybe I took out another one there. Yeah, that's all I really wanted to read. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see it all the time. It doesn't say money's wrong. It says the love of it. Because if you love it more than you do God, you're going to do stupid stuff. You're going to make decisions based on money. You should never make a decision based on money. I didn't say you don't try to get a good deal. I didn't say you shouldn't try to work hard and get a raise or anything. You don't make decisions based on it. In other words, you don't say, well, this job pays higher than this job, but this job that pays higher involves me moving 30 miles away to where I can't get to church. That's not the way you should make a decision. You say, Lord, where do you want me to go? And then you look, and if there's a job offer, you say, is that bear witness with the inside of me? Is there something on the inside that says that's the right way? God, is this where you'd have me to go? And you don't have to look at the money. Well, this pays less, but this is really where I feel like God is calling me to go. Go with God, because he knows what's going to happen down the road. You don't. That high salary could go down. On the other hand, the salary that doesn't look so high could go up. So don't be led by that. See, that's putting something above the Lord. Don't, you'll just like this verse says, it's a root of all kinds of evil for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Notice that, greediness. That doesn't mean just some guy that's just sitting there, you know, counting all his money. There are all levels of this. This means you want more. And that will trip you up. That will trip people up if we're not careful. We got to be led by him. It says, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. We stayed on Proverbs 23:4 last week. In 4 and 5 last week, let's look at that. It says, do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Don't overwork. And we talked about this last week. It says don't overwork to be rich. People will sometimes just, it's easy to say, well, that's not, I'm not in that category. Number one, I'm not even close to rich. And, you know, I'm not trying to do it for that reason. But there's all kinds of grades of this. And why would you overwork? Most people, it's going to come down to money somewhere. Well, I need the money. So I have to do this. You don't understand my situation. So then you're saying that I have to do this and I'm going to violate what God said because in my situation it doesn't apply. See, there's never a situation. People say, well, you don't understand my situation. No, most of the case, well, all the time I will say this, you don't understand the Word of God. It's so easy to reason ourselves out of God's will and say, well, that doesn't apply or God understands. It's not about God understanding. But like we read earlier, if you put him first and do it his way, he'll give you everything you need. He knows what we need. Amen. So that's his avenue to bless us if we'll cooperate with him. But if we talk ourselves out of it and say, well, that's just too hard. Nobody else is doing it. Yeah, nobody else is doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people not serving God, so don't go by that. A lot of people getting divorced. A lot of people having babies left and right. You know, and they're not married. A lot of people doing a lot of other stuff in that area that has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's contrary. So we should not go and compare our behavior to the world because we should always be, there always should be a difference, and that difference is getting wide. If you're living godly, you are sticking out further than a sore thumb. I mean, you're just, here I am, looks so different. So we ought not judge our behavior, say, well, nobody else is doing certain things. Well, yeah, that should be obvious to us. So he said, do not overwork to be rich. And we spent a lot of time on that last week. I can't rehash everything we said. This will be here, you know, a lot longer today. But don't overwork. Don't put money first. Don't hurt yourself. Don't go contrary to the Word of God for money. I don't care how much it is. And like we said last, people say, well, I'm not rich. Everybody in here is rich by the world's standards. We are. So we say, well, what standard? I need this. Do you need it? We have to ask ourselves, what do we really need to do? And what is the Lord leading us to do? He said, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? In other words, you set your eyes on something saying, I'm going after this. And then pretty soon, it's gone. Like a mirage, coming over the hill, there it is, and I go towards it all of a sudden. As I get there, it evaporates. How many stories have you heard of people that set their lives going after something, saying, I'm gonna attain, I'm gonna be the head, you know, I'm gonna be at the top of the ladder, and they get there and they realize, I've lost everything getting here. What was I thinking? We don't have to do that. The Lord tells us what to do in order not to have that same end. Look at Psalm 127 on your sheet. We hit this as well right at the end. This is where we ended up. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain or useless for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. I like that. Sleep. This is a verse you can use if you have trouble sleeping. He gives his beloved sleep. I'm his beloved, so I am sleeping tonight. Psalm 127, the same verse in the New Living Translation says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord is involved in building it. Your work, the builder's work, my work, wasted. Think about it, though. We're all on this earth for a limited period of time. We're going to be gone. Anything we do build, eventually it's going to be gone. It's going to be in ruins. What is going to stand? The things that were done in the service of the King. And they will not fade away. You will be recognized in front of all in heaven. People will know what you did and what you didn't do. You don't do it for that reason. You do it to honor the Lord. But it won't fade away. On the other hand, you do something and it was just you. Even if it looks good, men said, wow, look at that. That's awesome. You did that. If it's not, if the Lord's not in it, it's wasted. You don't go by what men regard. We want to please the Lord. He says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. We need to get a hold of this and realize that it doesn't matter how much might we have, how much military power, if God is not on our side, if He is not protecting us. It says that sentries will do no good. You don't need to fear when you walk around. Well, I better do this and this, make sure nobody can get to me. You would rather have the protection of God than having armed guards around you. Because people can get through armed guards. They cannot get through the Lord's protection. You don't need to be in fear. Some people are doing things out of fear, thinking they need to protect themselves. Well, I better do this and this. You never know. Now, use your head on things like that, but don't get into fear. When you start acting in fear, you're giving place to the enemy. He can lead you right on the path that actually opens up the very thing that you're trying to avoid. Amen. That's not my subject. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. You believe it? He gives rest to His loved ones. You honestly think? Does anyone honestly think that it is God's will for us to wear ourselves out working? Is that your will for your children? I hope you just work to yourself to the bone every day once you get married. I hope you come home dead tired and you work just to make ends meet. That would be my will for you. Would any parent say that? No, they want you health. We want our children healthy, happy, working in something they enjoy and that would be in line with what God would have them to do, contented. You don't want to see your children overwork. Well, Dad, Mom, I have to do all this. It's important. I have to get, the boss wants me and such. You would say, don't hurt yourself. Slow down. You need to keep your eyes on the important things. Well, I just don't have time to spend time with my family because I have to do this right now. Yeah, but when are you going to make that time up? Because your children are only going to be that age for so long. You're going to come back and make that up? I know I'm not getting much sleep right now, but it's okay. I'll make it. You can't make it up. Once I get past this project, somebody said, one of my instructors at Rhema, and it stuck with me. She said, you have to rest as you go. We've all been guilty of saying, I just got to get past this hump. I know it's busy right now. I'll get this done, and then I'm going to rest. But how many of you have found out you get done with that thing and you get to the other end, something that you didn't see was coming, now it's popped up. Now you don't have that time to rest like you thought. That's not the way it works. We have to get rested as we go. I'm not saying there won't be times you need to get a few things done, but you need to make sure, not hope, make sure there is time for rest. You build it in to the way you do things so that you are sure, I am getting rested, I'm getting rested, I'm maintaining, not go, 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 go. Well, I'll stop there. Oh, it didn't happen. Well, I'll just keep going. God, give me your strength. We can't go to the Lord and ask for something. Now, He's merciful and gracious, don't get me wrong. But when we violate His word in one area and we try to make it up, get Him to move in another area supernaturally because we're violating. He already said His words are good and they're right. And if we'll just listen to Him in the first place, we won't have to go to Him on certain things and try to get Him to bail us out. Because it'll work the first time. God, I'm just so tired. Give me strength to endure. Well, did He tell you to do what you're doing right now? Am I doing something that I ought not to be doing? If I am, I'm wasting my time. Because God never puts us on tasks that are going to wear us out. So somebody's doing it. Am I doing it? Am I doing something that I ought not to do, and that's why I'm worn out? If I don't have time to do what God's told me to do, I'm wasting my time somewhere. Period. Think about it. God has asked you to do something. We all say, well, no, that's my objective is to help in service of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't have time to do it. Then what are we doing? What is it we're spending time on that's so important? Well, no, that's important. I just can't get to it. Then we're doing something that we ought not to be doing. Now, where I really want to get to now, that's all, you know, recap, catching us up, and then bringing us some of that right where we left off. I want you to look at Exodus. Let's go back and turn there. Exodus 20. Turn in your Bibles. Everybody have a Bible? Somebody doesn't. The ushers can get you one, but they're right back on the back wall. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 8. Anybody recognize this portion of Scripture? Look back in verse 2. This is what we read just a minute ago. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. These are the Ten Commandments that the Lord was setting before Israel. Now look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now I want to ask you a question. Which of the other commandments in the Ten Commandments here are no longer valid today? Let's look at them. You shall have no other gods before me. Still valid? You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to keep those who love me and keep my commandments. So verse 4 through 6, making an idol to serve it. Should we not do that? Or is that changed and it's okay to do idols now? All right, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Wait, okay to use the Lord's name in vain now?
No.
Nope. Verse 8 we just read through 11. Verse 12. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Is it okay just to disregard our parents now? No? Well, you think to look around, that's pretty much the case, right? It's no longer cool. We don't have to listen to mom and dad. But notice the promise that comes with it. He says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you, that you will live long by honoring your father and mother. That's still. How about murder? Okay to murder now?
No.
Nope, I think that's still a bad thing. You shall not commit adultery. Now, how about that one?
No.
That okay now? Well, you'd think to look around, that's okay, because it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, God knows we all have needs and blah, blah, blah. So, no, that's nonsense. God's way is the best way. Verse 15, you shall not steal. How about that one? You shall not steal. That's still good? You like being stolen from?
No.
Suddenly God's okay with you stealing. No. How about you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor? Lying. That okay?
Nope.
How about you shall not cover your neighbor's wife? You shall not cover your neighbor's... what did it say? You cover house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything else of your neighbor's. So coveting after what other people have. Is that okay?
Nope.
Okay. What about verse 8? With the Sabbath, taking a day off. That one's not valid anymore.
Uh-oh.
Huh? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do, you know, just not as much work.
No work.
No work. Well, that's changed. We're under the new covenant, really. How about all the other ones? God just, you know, that's the one he changed. Now, there are things around it, the way Israel did certain things. We'll talk about that. But this is pretty plain. You can read it in any number of translations. Go for it. I've done it. You're not going to find where it bends this. It's just going to say no work. It doesn't tell you what to do, what to not to do. And it's, you got to define work. Some people work a lot with their minds. Some people work a lot with their bodies. You have to know. It does not get into legalism. It doesn't tell you every little thing. It just says you're not supposed to work. Take a day off. That's what it's saying. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor with your stranger who is within your gates. Nobody in your household is supposed to be doing work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Is that a command of God Almighty? The seventh day. Now, we're not going to get into that yet, but look at, stay in Exodus, look on your sheet in Genesis. So you don't have to turn there because we're going to keep going in Exodus. But look at Genesis. So somebody said, well, that's part of the law. Well, number one, all those other things were laid down as part of the law. Those things were not new in the law. They were the way, these are God's statutes. These stand for all time. They weren't new. They were codified in the law, just like tithing. We're going to get to tithing later. Tithing was codified in the law. It was not introduced under the law. So when people say, well, that's under the law. Nope, you're wrong. You go back, it was before the law. Abraham tithed. I believe that Adam tithed. I believe it was passed down. It was already there. There's a lot of things that were there. They were godly behavior. Who did Adam get it from? God. And passed it down and passed it down and how to sacrifice and different things. Things were codified in the law. And they had to give other things because those were unregenerate men. And so there's a lot of things beyond that. But there were things that were there all along. And anybody that's going to say, I challenge anybody to go through this list and say any one of those have passed away. They're all godly statutes. And I'm going to show you this right here. This predated everything. Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work. That word rested means to cease. We know God is the everlasting God. We sang that this morning. God does not get tired, yet he stopped. On the other hand, you're not God. I'm not God. You have a mortal body. I have a mortal body. You can overwork it. And it will break down if you overwork it. God told us this for our own good, for wisdom. This, he says, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. What does that mean? He set it apart. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. He put it aside. The seventh day. Is that in the law? Nope, that was way before the law. That was in the beginning. He said, this is what I did, therefore you do the same. And he set aside a day. And he blessed it. Now I know that this isn't common today. People have said, well, that's just not the culture. We just got to work hard. Yeah, and look what's happening to our country. There's a difference between working hard and overwork. Now he says, and we'll get into this, but he said the seventh day. Now people get legalistic about things. And people say, was that Saturday or Sunday or you know which day? Because the church, by and large, celebrates. They go to church on Sunday, and then you have people that would know it's just got to be on Saturday. That's legalism. No matter where, you know, you could fly halfway around the world and the day just changed, and now the day that was the right day is the wrong day. You can look at Scripture and just take it like this. There's 7 days. 6 of them you ought to work. Deal with that. Because I'm telling you right now, for me right now, this is work. So is this my day off?
No.
I take Saturdays off. Saturday's my day off, and I don't work. I don't work at home. I mean, I don't do any computer work. I don't play the piano or anything. I don't prepare for sermons. I take it off. Now that's not, I'm not saying, look at me, I'm giving you Scripture, but I'm saying, I do this. And I found, I used to not do it, and I talked about that a little bit last week. You know? I've gone through, I like doing it a lot better. Refreshed, ready to go, and when I, you know, if there's some reason I just got to get this done, I'll feel it the next week. So, well, I can go 7 days, Jim. Well, you're not trying to win and argue with me. You got to determine what's in Scripture. Okay, I'm not preaching to you what I do and this is my method. I'm telling you this is what the Word says, and I'm just saying, and from my personal example, I do this. 7 days you have. You ought to do your work in 6 days. And you need to work that out with the Lord because different people do different things. And notice he said no work. Well, what does that mean? You know, try to codify everything. And in the Jewish culture, they had a theocracy. They were all on the same page. They basically said, it is this day. Everybody is doing it this day. This is when we worship, so on and so forth. It was very much controlled and an environment, and they took that day off. And then if you didn't take the day off, if you walked so far, were caught picking up sticks, the law said you had to be stoned. You think that's too harsh? You're dealing with people that weren't born again like you and I. And they had, if they would break the law and dishonor the law, then you don't want people to start following after that. God was always merciful, and he always has been good. He has not changed. But the worst thing would be for people to start going against him, which they did anyway, and then the whole society feels the ramifications of that. But in this day and age, people have gone away from, so you can just see it in our country. It used to be illegal to do all kinds of things on Sundays. Now, in where we were, in our Christian nation, by and large, Sundays is when people would, that would be their quote-unquote Sabbath, their rest. You know what Sabbath means? It means intermission. It means rest. It means cease. You come, Sabbath. You come, Sabbath. You know, when you're playing music, it's like, you know, a measure. It's in a rhythm. You know what it's like when you just go and go and go? There's no rhythm. It's just go, go, go. That's not the way our bodies are meant. It's meant to go, 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 stop. Go, 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 stop. Go, 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 stop. Same thing with nights, you know? Same kind of rhythm. You get up, you go for the day, you should go to bed. Your body has a chance to recoup. You have that every day, and then you have it every week. And you ought to take vacations too. That's another thing. You ought to just stop and pull away for a while. God made us this way. But in this, you know, like I was saying, there used to be laws against people running certain kind of, you know, business and different things. It just weren't things open. I mean, I remember being a little kid. I mean, I'm not that old, and going around and there's certain things you'd want to go to the store on a Sunday, but those stores weren't open. You couldn't get it. So if you didn't get it on a Saturday or Monday, you could not get it. That's not the way it is. That's, by and large, been blown away. It's a little bit different than Saturday and Monday, but not much. Very little difference. And people schedule all kinds of, have no qualms about scheduling, you know, time all in the mornings and sporting events. That's all, it's pretty much going out the window. It's just another day. It's another day of the weekend. And it's going away. But look at where our nation is. But it couldn't be that we're not doing what the Lord would tell us to do. No, it's something else. No, all these things that we read, people have gone away from. And it's not about legalism. It's about what is right and good and what did God tell us to do. You can get legalistic with anything, and that's exactly what the Jewish nation did. We'll see that. They got to where you can't do anything. You couldn't do anything on the Sabbath, even if it were good. There was one instance where, you know, Jesus was using an example. What, if your donkey falls, or if, like, think about it like this, your little puppy dog falls in a crevice. You know, he was saying, you know, what if your donkey falls in something? Are you going to help it out? Are you going to get it out? And the Pharisees would say, no, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath. Well, let me ask you, if your family pet was hurt or somewhere, oops, sorry, it's Sunday, so day off, can't do anything. That's legalism. Jesus said, is it better to do good or evil on the Sabbath? Well, of course it's good to do good. That means you don't get legalistic about it. Somebody's dying. Well, sorry, it's my day off. I can't run and save you. What would Jesus do? He would get him. He would save him. That's legalism. But just throwing it all together and say, well, we don't listen to any, you know, Ten Commandments, everything. No, this predated the Ten Commandments. And just from what I've seen, being around in Christian circles, people disregard this all the time. It is easy. Well, Jesus, we just, you know, we throw that out. I just rest in Jesus. Well, you can't violate his word and decide you're going to rest in Jesus. Jesus did not do away with the Sabbath. The Bible, there's nowhere in the Bible it says that's not to be observed anymore. Praise God. Let's look at Exodus 16. So a few chapters back. So why would people do this? Out of a legalistic thing? This is not... God gave these things to us for our own good. Do you believe that? Yes. Why would he tell somebody, don't kill? Why would he say, don't commit adultery? Is that just he's trying to keep us from having a good time? It's way better if, you know, you just go to parties and have sex with everybody that's there, because that's the right way. God's just, poor old God is trying to keep us from having a good time, right? No. It's because that is the best thing. You know, well, you know, he's just finicky, so he doesn't want you making a carved idol and worshiping them, but that's really okay. No, that's wrong. You're created to serve the living God, and if you do the other, it's going to hurt you. Well, it's okay if you lie. No, it's wrong if you lie. People won't trust you. You'll start deceiving yourself. That's not good. Well, you know, that's old. Those people, we don't have to rest. God understands. God may understand, but you can kill yourself doing that. He said, this is what you need. Don't you think God knows what we need? But people, it's easy to disregard it, thinking, well, I got to push forward. I have to do something. Don't you? I have to do this for my family. Sounds good. Only problem is, if it violates the word of God, you're on quicksand. Don't you think God... What do we read back in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God, put God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you what? Everything you need. So we believe that or not? Well, you don't understand. In my situation, I have to work 7 days. Really? So you're the exception. God did not realize you were going to be on the earth when he sanctified the Sabbath. Poor old God, he does not understand how to get it to your family. I understand. I have 4 children. I have a wife. I understand what it means to have that responsibility. But we have to come before the Lord and say, what is your word? Not what I say, not what any person says. What does the Lord say so that we can live according to His word, so that we can enjoy the fruit of what He promised us, right? We have to believe. It does take faith. When you feel the pressure of, I have to get these things done, and somehow I'm not going to get them done if I don't work extra, you have to believe, and you have to know what the Bible says about His promises, not what a man says. You have to say, Lord, You said it. I'm ceasing. I don't care that my flesh wants to get up and do it. I'm stopping, and I'm going to be still. Sometimes that is the hardest thing on your flesh to do. Anybody know what I mean? Just stop and take an intermission. And let everything, you know, your mind, stop its winding. Come to a cease. Your body, you know, you're wound up from the week. Let that go. And get your mind put on the Lord. And kind of, I just call it hitting the reset button. You go, 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 that week's gone. Hit the button, and now you're ready to go again. But people have always been people. And even though this is what was told to them, just do things for 6 days, they would push. So look at verse 15, Exodus 16, verse 15. It says, so when the children of Israel saw it, and this is manna, if you look at verse 14, when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let everyone gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. So this is what God said through Moses. In verse 22 it says, and so it was on the sixth day. So they were supposed to gather it every morning. He says, so it was on the 6 days that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Verse 25, then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Isn't that interesting? The manna was supernatural, appeared every day for them. And He told them, on the sixth day, you gather twice as much. And there won't be any on the seventh day. So you're already dealing with miracles, the supernatural. But isn't it interesting how it worked? Verse 6 or 26 says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Verse 27, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. So they didn't listen. Well, I'm going out anyway. And guess what? Just like God said, it wasn't there. Verse 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Verse 29, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore He gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Isn't that interesting? What was written in these passages are supposed to be an example for us. And people do this today. Well, I need to do this. I need the money that's going to come in. But if we'll trust God, just like here, What we gather in the 6 days will be enough to bring us through. We have to trust God, though. But you don't understand, this came up, I have to do this. Well, you need to go before God. Is this something you actually need to attend to or not? Or can it be put off? I've seen it over and over. It's like, oh, I want to get this done. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And I waited and something changed and I ended up not having to do it or whatever. But God is faithful. He will do what He said He will do. If we'll take Him at His word. If we'll be obedient to the word of God, He will do what He said He will do, and He will do it in this area. Praise you, Lord. Look at Exodus 31, 12. Let's go there real quick. Exodus 31, 12. Exodus 31, 12. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath shall you keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you or sets you apart. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Aren't you glad that part isn't in effect today? Therefore, the children, we don't sacrifice bulls and goats either. I mean, there's parts of the law that we don't, that aren't active today, because we do live under a new covenant, and thank God Jesus took the sacrifice. Thank God we live under the grace of God. But God's mind has not changed. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh he rested and was refreshed. I like that. That's one of the things that happens when you take a day off. You get rested and refreshed, relaxed, allows you to unwind. You focus on the Lord your God. You look at what is real, what is true, and where you're going for your life, and you just get renewed, refreshed, ready to hit it again. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another thing, we're not going to talk about this too much, but in another place, he did talk about letting the earth rest as well. I just want to read this to you. Leviticus 25, we're not going to go in here, but I want to show you. Some farmers will do this, but a lot of people don't. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and said, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year you shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, your male and female servants, your hired man, the stranger who dwells with you, your livestock, and the beast that you are in your land. All its produce shall be for food. People will say, that's nuts. But that's what God, that's how He set it up. Amen. These things were in place before the law was codified and the law was given to Moses. This is the way God set it up. God is very orderly. He set things up in order. The universe. You know, look at the seasons and the years. That isn't by accident. the way the planets work around the sun and, you know, the different things. It's the same thing with us. We're set to be on a rhythm. Our bodies are made to work best like that. And when we try to violate it, consequences, there are consequences. And people where I shared some of, you know, some of the things I've dealt with last week, not going to go into that, but, you know, I've experienced things where I was pushing too hard. I had to back off and I had to change. You can't break God's laws and the natural laws He set up and then expect to just claim healing and supersede those laws. It doesn't work that way. If God told us to do something, you know, that's like going out and committing adultery with 20 people and then wonder why your marriage isn't working and claiming the power of God and getting in a healing line to heal your marriage. That's foolishness. We see it so clearly there, but people do this with healing all the time. They're wondering, why am I sick? Why am I sick? Because your immune system is broken down, your body is broken down, and what God put in place to fend off disease has been compromised. Your body is not meant to go 24/7, 7 days a week, so it's breaking down, and now you're trying to get in a healing line to solve something that could have been avoided by following God's rules in the first place. And the body of Christ, I've seen it throughout the years. When I was at Rhema, I mean, people overwork all the time. I was doing it when I was there. Going to Bible school, it's an excuse to say, well, I have to do this. No, we don't. I know this isn't something you'd probably get up and jump and run around the room, but if you understand this, if we need to make changes here, you will be running around the room in 6 months or a month when we start to see, I don't have to do that. Lord, I'm standing on your word. You know I need something. You know what I need. But you said right here I'm supposed to rest. I'm taking you at your word. I will rest. And it's up to you. I've seen examples. You said you would take care of me in those 6 days. I am doing your word. Therefore, you are obligated by your word to do it for me. And God likes it when you go to him and stand on his word. You don't get sassy about it. That doesn't mean we're arrogant about it or disrespectful. But Lord, I am taking you at your word. You said this, I believe it, and I'm acting on it. And sure as the Lord God is God Almighty, you will see his word come to pass. And then you'll be sitting there going, what was I thinking all the rest of that time? But you just have to look around. It's easy because our world does not behave this way. Let's turn to one more scripture and we'll wrap up. Let's just look at it on your sheet. Mark 2, 23. It says, now it happened. You have that on your sheet, the last one?
Yeah.
Now it happened that he, Jesus, went through the grain fields on the Sabbath as they went. As they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, and the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? See, this is what people have sometimes rebelled against. This is called legalism. Taking what God said and making a whole book of additional laws of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Verse 25, he said to them, Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, that he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with them. So David was on the run and went into the house of God and ate the bread that nobody was supposed to eat. But he needed it. He was God's anointed, doing what he needed to do, and he suffered no ill consequences. God, and that's under the law. But God is a merciful God. It has always been about faith, even under the law. Before the law, during the law, after the law. It is not, God is a faith God. And those that would look after him and do the law in faith, because that's the covenant they had. And they said, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do, but I just trust you. That is the heart that God has always looked for. David was a man after God's own heart. He broke the technical law here, but it was on the. But Jesus said, that was not the point. And what Jesus is saying here, he said, and he said to them, so he took some of that bread, ate it, and gave it to other people. Verse 27, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, or the intermission, or the rest, was made for us. It was made to keep us in line, to keep us rested, refreshed, our bodies working the way they ought to, us going full speed for God. It was made as a blessing to us, not us for the Sabbath. In other words, not us to serve the Sabbath and say, oh no, I can't do that because it's illegal. No, it's supposed to be, I need to do this. But if my dog is stuck, you know, in a ditch, I'm going to get the dog out and I don't have to say, ooh, I broke the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath is not for me to serve it. It's so that, you know what, I've been taking this off and somebody needs my help. I'm pulling them out. But God doesn't, that's not going to have any ill will. That's why Jesus, he went about and he healed on the Sabbath. And those guys were looking, going, I bet he's going to do it. Watch him. He's going to heal on the Sabbath. And they're getting in his face about it. And they're thinking all wrong. The Bible never said anything about, do we read the scripture? That's what God told the Israelites to do. Don't do any work. That's what he said. He didn't say don't heal. It was their laws and their jots and tittles that they added to the law that said this and this and this, and you can't do that. But God himself never said it. It's when we fall into legalism and start trying to define, well, this is right, this is not work, and this is work. It's you, between you and God, you know when you're pushing yourself. You know when you're not resting. You could move a piano from the first floor to the third floor and not have actually worked if it was something that you enjoyed and it was for relaxing and didn't have anything money tied to it. But you could go and write a few sentences or answer a few emails and that's work, because that's what you do all the time. You have got to be led by the Spirit of God, but if you will take a rest every seventh day, and we follow what the Lord said, we will be stronger, we'll be healthier, our families will be intact. Because why? It's the Lord. It's His direction. Amen.